Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
We're going to take a break for a couple weeks from our time in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be spending, I said at the beginning of the year, we'd spend the year going through the Gospel of Mark, and we still are. But there will be brief kind of respites along the way of a sermon series that kind of sneaks in. And for this week and the next couple of weeks, my thought has been to kind of talk about who we are, why we worship the way that we do. If you've ever come into this church, like, why do we do things this way or why do we do things that way? Sometimes it's good kind of just revisit what it means to be a people who worship, who pray, and what it means to do that together. And so today I want to focus on those elements precisely, worship and prayer. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about what it means that we are a scripture reading people and a people who partake of communion. And we're going to kind of talk about what these mean for us. I want to read for you today from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm going to start reading at verse 23. It's only a part of David's Psalm of Thanksgiving, but even in just these 11 verses I'm going to read, David is pulling from three different psalms that he's written. And so as you hear these words, some of them might sound familiar of psalms that we've read before, but they are his words of praise, his words of worship. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering. Come before Him. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord is King. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. I remember when there was a time when I was sitting in Sunday school. I was a teenager. I wasn't much older than Alex. And I was sitting with my group of friends in this Sunday school class. And our youth pastor was there. And he was teaching the lesson for us that Sunday. And we were gathered together. And we were getting ready after that class to go to Sunday morning worship. And then one of my classmates finally said to him, he said, I want to know, why do we have to go into Sunday morning worship with the adults? The children have children's church. Can't we have a youth service and have our own church service? And we said to the youth pastor, you could be the preacher for that service, and we could have our own service, and it would be wonderful, and it would be more interesting, and it would be less boring. And we just piled on. Wouldn't it be better if we had our own service? And while these words weren't said verbatim, the feeling around it was, all the other cool churches are doing it. Because that's what we did in the 90s. For whatever reason, church started having like youth-only services. And so we started talking about that. The other churches, the cool churches are doing it. Why can't we do it? And he had quite the conversation with us about what worship meant and what it means for us to join together in worship. And to tell you the truth, I am glad in that moment that he did so and revealed to us that the purpose of church isn't for all of us to segregate into our various age ranges, but indeed to worship together. How much of a blessing is it indeed to be able to have youth sing with us on Sunday morning? But worship for us is always the opportunity we have to draw near to God. Worship is the practice of drawing near to God. And when I think of worship, I think it has kind of two primary ways of looking at it, two kind of dimensions to worship. On the one hand, there's the very expressive dimension of worship. That is, worship is the way in which we celebrate outwardly and remember God's activity in our life. And we get excited about the songs that move us, the songs that just kind of get us going, because we are remembering, yes, God is good. God has moved in my life. It is a way in which we express celebration for what God is doing among us. It is a way in which also we find that, for example, in this scripture in verse 23, when he says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth, tell of his salvation from day to day." It is, we are recalling and remembering what God has done in our life. But also, as these words in 1 Chronicles show us, is they also share with us that this is our opportunity to outwardly express how great and majestic and holy is this God who has created the world. It is this way of, for us to remember, as the old evangelist would say it, the Lord is God and I am not. It's a way of saying, okay, God, here you are, and we honor and magnify you for who you are. As David expresses in this, "Great is Lord, greatly to be praised. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place." Worship is that moment where we recognize, okay, God, I am just turning my attention outside myself to you and his expression to God. But the other dimension of worship also is a kind of reflective dimension to worship as well, where we are preparing our hearts for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, where we come into worship to say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? How are you going to change me? How is your Holy Spirit going to work and move among me? We find this reflected in some ways also in 1 Chronicles 16, when he says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people." He says to the nation, he says to the people of God, we are bringing honor to him because he is going to work and do something among us. So worship has a reflective dimension where we say, okay, God, I am here worshiping, hoping that you are going to meet and do something in my life. The purpose of worship is to then open our hearts for an experience of how God is going to engage with us. And so he says we can give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. He's remembering. God's engaged with us before. We've seen examples of his love. And he's going to continue to open up our hearts to experience him. And so as I think about that, I want to share with you what worship looks like here at Cape Elizabeth Church in Arizona, and why we do what we do here. Everything in worship for us is meant to be expressive of our desires to praise and honor God, but it is also an invitation to newness, an invitation to see what else is God going to do in my life. And sometimes that newness is expressed in a particular song, and a fresh song, a song that maybe we don't know very well. But I want to tell you today that newness takes place on both sides of the timeline. Sometimes that newness is, oh, well, here's a new song that came up. I've never heard this before. It's only been out a couple years. But sometimes the newness is a song that's 100 years old that I haven't heard before. And Diane suggests it to me. Hey, what do you think about this song? And I say, do people know it? And she's like, oh, yeah, we love it. I'm like, okay, then let's sing it. Newness. And it's okay to experience worship in newness in that way. It really is. It's an opportunity for us to say, okay, How do I get fed by the worship of those around me? And how do I start to learn the faithfulness of God that has indeed been true throughout the generations? But worship and song also points and directs us towards something. Have you ever noticed that? Like singing in the car or singing in the shower. I need to crank up my phone when I'm in the shower. It has to blast over the shower head because I hate mornings. And so if I want to begin my day right, I need some energetic music playing while I'm in the shower, or else my day is just not going to get off into the right foot. So music kind of like directs, it points us, kind of like our first couple songs in worship. It was exciting, and I know Tim was getting excited on those drums. I love that. Every now and then I'm like, okay, that's getting loud. Oh, but I love what Tim's doing right now. And so like it's just these moments, it points. It directs us. And so last night, I'm driving home, and we're going to get home about an hour later than I had anticipated. Man, I was grumpy. And I was just kind of quiet and just kind of, okay, we're just going to get home. It's later than I anticipated. I already knew it was going to be a little bit late, but it's later than I anticipated, so I was a little grumpy. And the radio was on, whatever, that's fine. But halfway through the drive, there's a song that comes on that we like. And Jen starts singing it. And I love it when Jen sings. And it was a good song. And next thing you know, I'm singing along. And now we're both singing along. And the whole mood of the ride changed. Because sometimes that's what music does, right? Is it directs and it points us to where we want to land, to where we hope to go. And so one of the ways, that's kind of what worship does, at least worship in music as well, is sometimes it points and directs us to where it is we're hoping to orient our lives, to a point of celebration or a point of contemplation. It points and directs us. Sometimes worship, particularly in song, is evocative. It is just helping to capture where we are in the moment. If you ever had one of those songs that maybe it's not directing you, but it is just putting to words how you feel in the moment. And it just expresses that so well. We had a couple of songs like that this morning. Gratitude. Even His Eye Is on the Sparrow. One of the things I love about His Eye Is on the Sparrow is those opening lines, why should I be discouraged? Like the whole sound of the music is, but if you are, this song is for you. And by the time you finish singing the song, you're like, that line, I sing because I'm happy, is not the kind of like shallow understanding of happiness. By the time you've sung through the song, you're like, that song is beautiful. It both points and it catches the mood. Because it's like, there is a happiness, but it's a more robust one. It's one that has layers to it because I've just sung through all the worries. It's just a great song to catch. But music does that. And worship can too. Sometimes just catch. This is where I am in the moment. And God, here it is for you. And so the question, of course, is what are we supposed to do in these kinds of moments of worship? Why do we sing all these songs? It's so that we can join in. The worship team is more than who picks songs or who plays or who sings or who's in charge of making sure the words are projected. The worship team is the whole gathered people of believers. When Diane and I whisper after church about how worship went, our excited worshiper voice, oh, couldn't you hear them on this song? Wasn't this beautiful? And like, this is what everything is about for worship. That's what gets us excited, is when all of us are coming along, even if it's new, searching out the melody, finding the words, or just listening and humming along. Have you ever been with someone who says, oh, I love this song, I got to share it with you? Or a song comes on the radio that you've never heard, but they reach over and they crank it up. Or they start humming or singing something. You're like, what is that? And they keep singing it and keep humming it, and you just can't help but listen to what it is. It may be a song you've never heard before. But now, every time you hear that song, guess what you're going to remember? That person and their excitement and their smile and what went with it. And same in the same way in worship. Sometimes something new happens. You're like, okay, what's happening here? Or what memories is God going to create here? How is God going to direct me here? We have a wonderful opportunity, an invitation to enter into the joy or emotive responses of the songs that we sing in worship. And I want to say that I know sometimes people wonder, well, how can we respond? What's okay during worship? And I want you to know here at Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene, there's a song that moves you. You want to lift up a hand in praise, you can lift up a hand in praise. If you want to clap after a song or clap along with a song, feel free. I guarantee you'll get a funny look from somebody if you're clapping on the wrong rhythm, but that's okay. You can do it anyway because I'm doing it too. I guarantee it. but that's great. If you want to say amen after something that happens in worship or a part of the sermon, you can do that. John used to do that often. It's just one of those. It's a part of that expression that we are all worshiping at all parts of the worship service. And of course, worship is not just what happens in music, although that is what we most often equate worship with. But worship happens in the whole prayer life, because what I said about the two dimensions of worship, there's an outward focus, an expressive purpose, but there's also a reflective one where we're asking God what He's doing in our heart. That happens in prayer as well. Prayer is the way in which we are directing ourselves before God who's so much bigger than us, but it's also a way of inviting Him to work and move in our life as well. And so in the life of our church, we have some prayers. And if you ever look in your bulletin, if I don't know about you, but the first time that I came, I still remember my first Sunday, I was like, oh, prayer of invocation. Okay. And because some of the churches I went to just said opening prayer, which was just a way of saying, hey, it's the first prayer. But, you know, we can tell by the order of service that, yeah, it's the first prayer. But I like prayer of invocation because it reminds us that what we are doing is we are inviting God to make his presence known to us. We're inviting God to do something new in our life. We're inviting him to indeed inhabit our praise and be with us. It is an opening of our hearts to what God is going to do. Even when we pray and we come to the part where it says the pastoral prayer, I remember growing up, I thought that meant that's the prayer, just the prayer the pastor prays. And I remember one time a pastor asking someone else to pray that prayer. I think because he wanted to pray at the altar, but he asked someone else to pray that prayer. I remember thinking, wait, but that's the pastoral prayer. They can't pray that prayer. But the pastoral prayer doesn't mean that's the prayer the pastor prays. It means it's the prayer for the people. It's the prayer for the flock of God's people. It's the prayer that lifts up the concerns and the heart of who we are and where we've been, what we're going through, and asking God to move. And the pastor, as the shepherd of the flock, as the representative of Christ among his people, is the one who often prays that prayer, but it's not to mean it's his prayer, but it's meant to be a pastoral prayer because it's a prayer that is prayed on behalf of those gathered. I found myself also when I first came here because I've been to different churches, and the Church of the Nazarene tries to be consistent in theology and worship throughout, but worship styles often change a little bit between Nazarene churches. And I remember coming here and hearing again and again the Lord's Prayer every week, and I remember thinking to myself, wow, I didn't pray the Lord's Prayer every week in previous churches I went to, And sometimes one of the things you think of, you try to discern, is this something I would change as I'm pastor here and things like that. And so, you know, that's one of the things that pastors do in churches is they try to find the worship that they think will help speak and for the congregation. And I remember having a conversation, might have been with the board, it might have just been with Diane, but it could have been both because I tend to repeat myself. But it was a conversation. I said, you know what, I was thinking, I wonder if we'll keep doing the Lord's Prayer every single week. And I found myself in that moment, as I was thinking about that and praying about that, I remember God saying, you know, there's some voices you hear in the Lord's Prayer that you don't hear anywhere else in anywhere else in the service. Don't take their participation in worship away. And it was a moment where I was like, okay, I won't do that. And I found myself, and I'm so glad also, that not only because of that moment, but the Lord's Prayer has a very particular function in the life of our church, in the life of our worship. In the life of church, wherever there is communion served, wherever the sacraments are presented, there's always a prayer at the beginning, often called a prayer of confession, a prayer of preparation for us to come and receive God's grace. And the Lord's Prayer is that prayer for us. It's that moment where we say, I'm preparing my heart for communion. I'm preparing my heart to receive the Lord. I'm praying, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I am indeed praying that God would forgive and God would work in my life. The Lord's Prayer is our preparation for the work of communion. And there are some songs that function as both worship and prayer in the life of our church. From the doxology, which often carries with it a different tune, reminding us of the act of worship and giving and reminding us to praise our God. It is just a word of praise. That's all it is. There's no request. There's nothing else. It's just praise to our God. Sometimes it gets switched out for a newer song, a song that's only come out in the last decade or two, a song that reminds us to listen and hear the scriptures that are about to be read. But they all function as a way of pointing and directing us towards what God is doing and what God wants to do in our life and in the service. They are repeated words that have become so known to us that they function as worship, but also as a way of centering ourselves in the grace of God. They function as a prayer. even the benediction. Well, sometimes, every now and again, I'll take the posture of prayer, even if, as most times, it's hands raised blessing. It is a prayerfully hopeful expression for us to meet God in the context of our everyday lives, a blessing, but also a received prayer. And so those are just some of the things that have come to kind of define what worship looks like in our services. And this last week, when I was spending time with my parents, my mom has started going back to a church she went to as a child. It's a Presbyterian church, a church of an entirely different denomination. They have an entirely different way and liturgy of how they do things, but there's still some very similar things. And I remember following along and realizing, okay, I don't quite get it, but I kind of do. And I asked some questions to them along the way just because I was still feeling it out. And because I've been Nazarene for so long, I just didn't get all of what was happening. But there's so many things that were similar as well. And I found myself thinking, what a blessing it is indeed to recognize points and familiarity and points in which we recognize that this is just opportunity again and again to purposely say, now's the time where we're asking God to move in our life. Now's the time we're asking God to be present in service. Now's the time where I'm opening myself up to what God is going to do. And that day, many years ago, when our class asked the youth pastor, hey, what about our own service? What about our own service? One of the things I still remember the youth pastor said to us is he said, you know, if you go into service and you just can't get anything out of it, if the music doesn't do anything for you, if the preaching doesn't do anything for you, if you just can't get anything out of it, then what you can do, he said, open up your Bible, they're still in the pews, grab a Bible and start reading. Just start reading, because you have come with a purpose. You've come to worship. And if for whatever reason it's not working, ask God to speak to you in whatever passage of scriptures you might open up. And I remember him saying that and thinking, yes, because what a sad state of affairs it is when indeed we kind of check out and maybe we just turn to our phones. You know, we turn to our social media or our work texts because we can't put it down. When we can't pause and rest in the presence of God, or we just find ourselves too distracted to even say, here's a moment in my day of my week to worship God. Each of us comes with the hope of encountering our Lord and the promise that wherever we gather in His name, that He will be with us, even when things are difficult. And my hope is that we do gather in His name, and of course not in the name of Facebook or work obligations or entertainment or any other number of motivations. Everything we do is about, okay, God, I'm here to worship You and see how Your Holy Spirit is going to be working in my life. And I guess if I can close with a thought from the passage scripture we read in Romans, that as much as this service, this sermon and this kind of service is just kind of focused on what it means to be a worshiping, what worship kind of style, order looks like here in Cape Elizabeth, worship is supposed to be lived out. That our spiritual act of worship is how indeed God's Spirit interacts with us to love our neighbor as ourselves as we go from this place. In fact, I've come to think that sometimes Sunday is like a rehearsal for the rest of the week. As we learn to listen to God, as we learn to take in what God wants to do in our life, as we practice honoring Him with our mouths and with our actions, so also as we leave this place, that we might honor Him with our words and our actions, that we might draw near to Him again and again each week. This last week, while Jen and I were away, we had an opportunity to see a play. It was a play of young actors, and I'm glad they rehearsed. I'm glad they did. I mean, it was good. It was good. But it wouldn't have been if they hadn't. If they had just gotten on stage and said, hey, we're winging this. It would have been a mess. It would have been a disaster. But they rehearsed. And I understand the analogy breaks down. Like, we're not putting on a performance. But I can't help but think that Sunday worship is in some ways a rehearsal of how we are to live our lives among the people that God brings our way. It's a way of saying each day we want to be drawing near to God, and sometimes we need to have an intentional focus. Each day is lived ascribing honor and glory to God, but it gets harder to do so in the regular day-to-day activity if there isn't an intentional, purposeful moment to do that. And to recognize that we have many different ways in which we try to do that in the course of our service, But also, it's all invitation for us to see what God is going to do, how he will bring thanksgiving of the myriad expectations and experiences that we have in life. Just as David does when he collects various psalms, says, here's my thanksgiving today. So we collect from our experiences of worship in our life and say, okay, God, here I am to offer worship and thanksgiving to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one in this church. I thank you that I get to return and worship with them, Lord. I've loved them. They have loved me and my family. And Lord, you have loved us all and brought us together. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Heavenly Father, I trust that you are the God who is continually at work among us. Thank you, Lord, for a church that has again and again just been open to how you're moving, to how you're working. Lord, we give you praise. And Lord, it is my hope that as we pray together as one voice, as we receive the grace of communion, that we remember that you have gathered us together for a purpose. You have indeed brought us to this place to celebrate what you are doing, to honor you, to open up our hearts what your Spirit is doing, because you are a God who puts us out into this world on a mission. Indeed, the way we live our life becomes a way of worship. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve him today.